We're holding on page 142 in Rosh Hashanah, or in yours it may be labeled 122, whatever the page opposite, Ayin Beis, about 5 lines from the bottom, middle of Os Yud Gimel. It'll be opposite page Ayin Beis, yeah. So the last thing we were learning about was that we said that once the Gzau Din, that we said that even after the Gzau Din has been written then and sealed, then a person can still do tshuva and it'll be ripped up. And then we discussed, on the other hand, there seems to be there's a braisa that seems to be saying that that no, and the answer is, the Gemara had said, there's a difference between the yochid and the tzibur. So the tzibur's Gzau Din can be ripped up even afterwards. The yochids, once it was sealed, then not. And even the tzibur's, as we learned yesterday, not always will Hashem rip it up. He'll try to work within that Gzau Din, and only if that's not possible will he actually rip it up. So the Gemara continues. Toshma, let's try to bring another proof about what happens after the Gzau Din. We have in Kapitel Kuf Zayin, when it describes the Abot Tzrichim Lahoides, the four people in dangerous situations who, when they get out of it, they thank Hashem, Yodel Hashem Chastoi. The Pasuk describes the fourth kind that travel on the sea, Yoda Hayom Ba'anias, the ones who go down into the water in ships, Oisim Melocha B'mayim Rabim, who do work in great waters, Hemaro Masi Hashem, they saw the deeds of Hashem, V'nifla Oisem, and his wonders, B'mitzula, in the depths. By Yomer, and then Hashem speaks by Yamed Ruach Sa'ar of a Gomer, and all of a sudden a storm wind blows up the Gomer. Yala Shemaim Yodas Ahomis for Gomer. They're going up and down. The ship is tossing to and fro. They're being thrown up and down. Yachoygo Yanu Kashikar. They stagger and they reel around. They're staggering and then falling like a drunk person. Vayitzakol Hashem Batzalahem, and they cry out to Hashem in their trouble. Vagomer, and Hashem saves them and calms the storm down. Yodel Hashem Chastim and Eflosim Adam, and they praise Hashem. They thank Hashem for his chesed and for his wonders to people. Page one, you have it labeled by yours as page 122 in Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, it's opposite page Ayin Beis. The numbering is a little bit messed up. Yeah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also lahen simonios. Now in that capital, before several of these psukim, you have markings there, ach and verak and shabbat Torah. Like in some places, the Torah says ach and rak, and it means a mute. The same way over here, you have backwards nuns before several of these psukim. Now we're familiar with, you have the backwards nuns in Parshas Baalos, before and after Vayhi ben Soya. Here also, before several of these psukim in that capital, you have backwards nuns. We don't find them. We don't find them in the Tilum O Yosef Yitzchak. They didn't print them in there. But you look in a Makros Gedolus, you'll see them. You look in the Tilum Yahel Ur, you'll see them. And then you'll have some other editions of Tilum where you'll find them. Whatever, they're there. There's seven of those backwards nuns in that capital, and most of them are before the psukim that the Gemara is going to quote, that the Gemara has just quoted. So loy maloch, and the nun is meant like an ach or a rak. It's meant to be an exception. It's meant to be like only or but. There's an exception. So meaning loy maloch, it comes to tell you tsaku kodim gmar din, if they cry out before, but kodim gzar din, before the Eibishter's gzar din, nenu, then they'll be listened to, and Hashem will calm down the storm and save them. La'achav gzar din. But if they're only crying out to Hashem after the gzar din, loy nenu, then they may not be answered. So we see now on the face of it, you have a lot of people on a ship. They should be considered like a tzibur. And we said a tzibur, even after Gzau Din has been made, it can still be ripped up. And the answer is no. Hanach nami ki yichidim damu. No, these people who are on the ship may be considered like yichidim. The idea being, in what sense are they like yichidim? So the Ritva says, because they come from different families. He doesn't elaborate what that means, but it may mean in other words, every on a ship, when it's in danger, people tend to look out for themselves. You don't always have that people cooperate with one another as much as they do. What? There's no, so they may be all literally in the same boat, but they don't necessarily show much of a sense of achdus. And Maharsha points out, in fact, that So what about the other three groups that I mentioned in that capital? What about the ones who go in the desert and the cholim and the ones who are in jail? So he says maybe in fact those are more considered like a rabbi. He doesn't, again, the Maharsha doesn't elaborate in what sense they're more like a rabbi, but maybe you could say, because with those three things, people do tend to stick together. When there are cholim, for example, people tend to look out for one another, because it's an epidemic that's spreading or whatever, and therefore they're going to try to take care of each other and prevent it from spreading. And the same way with the prisoners, and the same way with the Hochem Midborius, where they go together in a caravan. Whereas over here, we're saying with the ship, maybe every person figures it's every person for themselves. Okay, so therefore, so again, so that's Yechidim. So there's no proof that by its Sibur the Gzar Din can't be ripped up. Because here we're talking about they're considered like Yechidim. Okay, Toshma, the Gemara says, let's try to bring another proof. Shala Bluria Hagiyoris HaSerem Gamliel. Bluria, that was her name, she was a Giyoris. She asked Rem Gamliel, Kosu B'Seraskem, she says, it says in your Torah. Now it's interesting that she used the expression your Torah. If she herself is a Giyoris, it's now her Torah as well. In fact, Yad Yosef over here mentions that when the Sefer Shiltis from Rabbi Choy Goin, one of the early Goinim, when it quotes the Gemara, he leaves out the word B'Seraskem. So his Girsa didn't have that. So therefore, she's just saying Kosu, it says in the Pasuk. If we have the Girsa B'Seraskem, then it may mean that she was asking it before she had actually finished her process of Giyoris. Anyway. Maybe she just continued to use her name, her name Bluria as a Jewish name. Maybe for all we know, maybe Bluria is a Jewish name also. I mean, Bruria is a Jewish name. It's similar enough. Maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's the same way, you know, for example, we still call Unculus by his Roman name, even after he was a Ger, right? So maybe it wasn't necessarily such a given back then that people took themselves a new name when they were Misgaya. I guess you could say, I mean, it probably depended. If their name included a name of Avodah Zarah or something, then they'd probably have reason to change it. But if it's just an innocuous Goyish name, they may not have bothered. Anyway, so she asks, it says in the Torah, Asher lo yisaponim v'lo yikach shoychad. Hashem will not lift up a face and will not take shoychad. Now, the word lifting a face in Tanakh a lot of times means to show favoritism. But she's understanding it more. So in other words, so the Poshit chapter, the Pasuk means that Hashem doesn't show favoritism to anybody. But she's understanding it in the sense of to lift up your face to somebody also means to show them a friendly face, so to speak. So Asher lo yisaponim, it sounds like it's saying Hashem does not show a friendly face to anybody. But then you have another pasuk, Yisa Hashem ponev elecha, Hashem will lift up his face to you, v'yosim lecha shalom, and he'll give you peace. So what is it? Does Hashem lift up his face to us and show us, so to speak, a smiling, happy face, or does he not? Now again, Tosfos says, look, on a pshat level, it's not really a question. Asher lo yisaponim means that Hashem doesn't show anybody favoritism. And then Tosfos describes, now there are psukim that imply that Hashem did show favor to certain people by Yisa Hashem's Pnei Iyov, Kiim Ponav Esa, but that's different because he was a tzaddik. Tosfos discusses this also in Nida. This point is brought also that the Jews of Alexandria asked this question to Rabbi Yeshua. And their Tosfos is also bothered by the point, why doesn't you just answer them that it means Nesias Ponim of a person, and Marsha discusses it over there. Anyway. But at least in the way that she's understanding the Pasuk, and apparently the way that Anshe Alexandria understood the Pasuk as well, it's possible to understand Asher lo yisaponim as meaning that Hashem will not show a friendly face, but on the other hand, Yisa Hashem ponev elecha means that he will. Nitpo lo Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen. So Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen went to join her, meaning to talk with her. Why particularly he? Ben Yehoyada, if she asked the question to Rem Gamliel, why didn't Rem Gamliel answer? Ben Yehoyada says, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen. What? Yeah, he says, because this pasuk, Yisa Hashem Ponev Elecha, is in Birkas Koyanim, so therefore, particularly Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen had a particular interest in answering it. Anyway, he tells you, I'll give you a moshel what it's like. You have a person who's owed a money, 100 zuz, by another person. So he, in the presence of the king, he arranged a time by which the loan is going to be back, is going to be paid back. And the loiva, the one who owes the money, swore by the life of the king that he will pay in time. He gives mandal and nothing like klum. Time comes and he doesn't pay. So he comes to ask mechila from the king. I swore in your name, and it turns out it was a false swore. So the king tells him, As far as the insult to me, I feel that you swore falsely in my name, I forgive you. But go appease your friend, go either pay him or arrange with him new terms or something. Af Hochanami, the same way, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyen tells her, can be a Baveda Shemin Anum Lachaberai, can be a Baveda Shemin Anum Lamakim. there's a difference. When it comes to Averus from Adam L'Chaveroi, that's when we're saying that Hashem lo yisaponim. Hashem will not show a friendly face for that. Meaning, in other words, that Hashem is going to say, fine, the fact that there's a Ben Adam L'Mokim component in it, because after all, it's a mitzvah of Hashem, fine, I can overlook that, but I can't overlook what you did to the other person, as we learned in Yoma, Ad Sheyudatze Es Chaveroi, so therefore that's lo yisaponim. On the other hand, the yisa Hashem ponim elecha is by an Aveira Hashem Adam L'Mokim. So that Hashem can fully forgive. And in that case, actually, Maharsha points out, so now, actually, we have what Tosfos pointed out, that on pshat level, the Pasuk is referring to showing favoritism to a person. So actually, this would work with Rabbi Yossi HaKohen's explanation as well. When it comes to a person did an Aveda Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, then Hashem won't show him any favoritism. Hashem will say, I can't be Moichel you because you weren't Meratzeh Es Chaveroi. On the other hand, by an Aveda Ben Adam L'Mokim, then Hashem can show him favor and say, you know what, I'm willing to give you a break and give you a chance to do tshuva and whatever. So that was the first explanation. Ad shebo Rabbi Akiva v'limid, until later on Rabbi Akiva came and taught. No, the difference is not so much Averus ben Adam L'Chaveroi and Averus ben Adam L'Mokim, but rather kan kodim gzadin, kan ma'acha gzadin. It depends before and after the gzadin. So therefore, after the gzadin, then Hashem will not. Then Hashem will so to speak hide his face and then lo yisaponim. So then Hashem will not show a favorable face to a person at a time like that. So then it's not talking about Ben Adam L'Mokim versus Ben Adam L'Chaveroi anymore, right? So Maharsha explains that that's the vote. Before the Gzau Din, Hashem has not yet hidden his face, so Yisa Hashem upon him. After the Gzau Din, Hashem has hidden his face, so therefore lo yisa upon him, Hashem will not show any favor to the person anymore. So here we see, now Rabbi Akiva is not distinguishing between a Gzau Din of a Yochid and a Tzibur, so it sounds like it means that even at Tzibur, Hashem is not going to show any favor to after the Gzau Din. And the answer is, Hochanami be Yochid? No, because you can say we're talking still about a Yochid over here. At Tzibur would be different. The Pasuk Asher lo yisaponim is not talking about a Tzibur, it's talking about a Yochid. And in fact, you have the context of the psukim over there is more talking to a yochid, saying that Hashem is that if you next pasuk osim mishpat yosim almana, so it's talking more about a yochid who treats a yosim and almana badly, and therefore that's the asher lo yisapon.
Sorry, when is the Gzau Din? After the Avera, at the end of the day?
So the Gzau Din will be, so we said, for yochid, generally speaking, the Gzau Din is the Gzau Din is sealed on Yom Kippur. We said for Beinoni on Yom Kippur, and for Tzaddikim and Rishoyim even earlier than that on Yom Kippur, we had the opinions before about Odom Nidin B'chol Yom or B'chol Shah. So then, according to that, the Gzau Din can take place at various times. Tosfos also brings another point as well, that the Gemara in Nida, when it brings these two psukim, it mentions another point, as it mentions this point as well, and gives the same answer before and after Gzau Din that Rabbi Yeshua gave to the Anshei Alexandria. There is a Gemara in Brochus that bears on this as well, where the Malachi Ashoris ask the same question to Hashem. How could you say Yisa Hashem Ponev Elecha in the Torah when you yourself say Hashem lo Yisa Ponim? And Hashem answers, you know what? The Jewish people deserve it. What? No, not actually, not Laikach Shoichad, but Asher Lo Yisaponim. The Pasuk is saying Asher Lo Yisaponim, but here it says Yisa Hashem Ponim Elecha. So the Gemara in Brachas say, the Malachi Ashoris asked that very question to Hashem. And Hashem answers, you know what? The Jewish people deserve it, because here I said, Brachalta B'Savato V'Nachta, and they go Lefnim Meshur Sadin, and we bench even over far less food than that. So therefore, they deserve to have that Nasias Ponim. So that's a different answer. Not a matter of Ben Adam L'Mokim, Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, or before Gzau Din or after Gzau Din. It's more a matter of the Jewish people deserve to have that Nasius Ponim because of that. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, the fact is, even that will only be before the Gzau Din. As the Gemara has just said over here, after Gzau Din, even that argument that Hein Machmirin Al-Atzman Ad-Kazayis Ad-Kabetza, Hein Medaktikin Al-Atzman Ad-Kazayis Ad-Kabetza, is still not going to work.
When Rabbi says,
but other people they give generously, right? For themselves, they'll bench even if they only ate a kazayas or a kibetz, but to give to somebody else, yeah, they're generous, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara points out Gzau Din de Yochid Gufei Tanoi. As a matter of fact, though, actually, whether the Gzau Din of a Yochid can be whipped up as a result of his truva is actually a machlokas tanoim. Like this, we've been saying all this time that can be Yochid, how be Yochid, how be Tzibur, that a Yochid's Gzau Din cannot be whipped up once it was sealed, but its Tzibur's can. Actually, the truth is, the Gemara is saying that actually there are tanoim that hold that even a Gzau Din of a Yochid can also be whipped up. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Hoyerab Meoimer, Shnaim Sha'ul on the mit of a Cholian Shabbat. Suppose you have two people who are both sick in bed with the exact same sickness. The same way, if you have two people who are being taken up to the Gaudrum for judgment, the Gaudrum is the, Rashi describes, is the Goyish courts where they would sentence people to death, where they would try people and pass out death sentences. The word Gaudrum actually comes, it's related to English words like grade and other words like that. It literally means a platform with steps, because that's the kind of thing that judges would sit on. You have like the seats and like the bleachers, like the bleachers that used to be in Senate 70 and other things like that. You have the judges would sit on various levels over there, so everybody can see what's going on. What? Yeah, like a pyramid, kind of. Yeah. So the place of the judgment was called the Gaudrum. Anyway, so imagine you have two people that are going there to be judged by Goyish courts, the Dinam Shava, and they're both being charged on the exact same. They're both being tried on the exact same charges. Yet Ze Yorad Vzela Yorad Ze Nitzel Vzela Nitzel. Sometimes you have one comes out of bed safely and recovers, and the other one does not, or the one is saved from being executed by the government and the other one is not. Taka, what's the difference? The difference is Zeh spalov nenev, Zeh spalov leinenev. One daven and Hashem listened to it and Hashem answered his tefillah, and the other one daven and Hashem did not answer his tefillah. Well, in turn, and with name Mazeh Spal of Nana Vzela Nana. So why is that? Why did Hashem make that difference? The difference is Zeshe Spal of Tfila Shlema Nana, the one who daven a complete tefillah, who put in Kavana into it. The one who put in Kavana into it, Nana, he was answered, the Zeshele Spal of Tfila Shlema, the one who did not do a complete tefillah with the proper Kavana, Loi Nana was not answered. So according to that Tana, then it comes out that even so he davened, and that means he did shuva as part of his davening as well. So even though the Gzau Din was already, we assume the Gzau Din was already against him, was already made against him and sealed in Shemayim, otherwise he wouldn't have been so dangerously sick, or he wouldn't have been brought up on trial and on charges in front of the Goyish government. And nevertheless, we're saying that his tefillah, that is that sincere shuva and that sincere tefillah and shuva can overturn that. What does the Tanya of today have to do with it? The Tanya of today talks about where a person has to fight against the Yetzer Hara and go more than his regular. Oh, also by davening. Okay, yeah, I hear. Okay, fair enough. Okay. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar Oima Kan Kodim Gzaudin Kan Lacha Gzaudin. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar says not necessarily. The difference between the two people: one, the Gzaudin was already sealed against him in Shemayim, and the other one not. So it comes out that Rabbi Lazar would be the one, or Rabbi Eliezer would be the one that we were saying before, that the Gzaudin of a Yochid can't be canceled, and only the one of a Tzibur could be. Rabbi Yitzchak Oima, and Rabbi Yitzchak says Yofa Sa'okal Adam Ben Kodim Gzaudin Ben Lacha Gzaudin. It's always good for a person to cry out to Hashem, whether before the Gzau Din or after the Gzau Din. Either way, it can help. So on the face of it, that means he's disagreeing with Rabbi Lazar. On the other hand, Rabbi Hananel says, maybe not really necessarily. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar are clearly disagreeing, because Rabbi Meir is saying that it's possible for the person to daven with Kavana and overturn his Gzau Din. And Rabbi Lazar is saying not, because he's a Yochid. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yitzchak is not saying that the Gzau Din may be completely overturned, but he's saying Yofa, at least it'll help to mitigate it. It'll help to make it that it won't be quite so harsh. So therefore, he's not necessarily disagreeing either with Rabbi Meir or with Rabbi Lazar, but rather the machlokas would be between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar whether the Gzau Din of a Yochid can be ripped up or not. Tzaka means a person cries out in tefillah and in tshuva to Hashem. So the bottom line is that we have different opinions about the Gzau Din of a Yochid, whether it can be whipped up or not. According to the Meir, yes. According to the Belozer, no. And according to the Yitzchak, depends how you learn his Yofa Tzaka. Does it mean that it can actually cause it to be whipped up? Or does it mean that only Yofa, it helps something, it'll mitigate it, but it's not necessarily going to whip it up completely? Okay. Now, though, we said before that the Gzau Din of a Tzibur can be whipped up. So that's what we said. We have the case of the rain where it's not, because there Hashem will just work within it. But we said other than that, where that's not possible, then the Gzau Din as a whole will be ripped up. So Gzau Din de Tzibur mi mikra. Is it so, though, that the Gzau Din on a Tzibur can be ripped up when they do tshuva? V'hoksiv, the Pasuk says, Kabsi me ra'a libech Yerushalayim l'man v'gomer. The Navi says to the Jews of Yerushalayim and of Eretz Yisrael in general, wash your heart out of evil, Yerushalayim, and then in order that you'll be saved. In order that you'll be saved from the Gzaudin, Uchtiv. But then you have another pasuk also in Yirmiya, where Hashem says, no, Kim sechabsi ban neser. Even if you're going to cleanse yourself with neser, is a type of earth that they used in those days for cleansing. It's some kind of compound of sodium and whatever else they it's some kind of natural mineral that's used for cleaning. What?
Chemar.
Chemar is what? It's clay. So Nesser, I mean, we find Nesser it is, we're saying over here. No, we have, it's mentioned, for example, it's mentioned in some places, they made kalem out of it sometimes. They used it for washing and cleansing things, whatever. It's some kind of natural mineral, nitre, it's called in English. The word nitrogen comes from that because it contains nitrogen, whatever, anyway. So it's used, you know, nowadays, you know, to put it in modern terms, he's saying, even if you were to cleanse yourself with the best detergent, let's say, the Sarbilach Bodis for Gomer, even if you put a lot of Bodis, which is soap, nevertheless, the Pasuk is saying your Aveda is still a stain. So first the Pasuk is, so you have one Pasuk saying that they should cleanse themselves in order that they'll be saved. And now you have another Pasuk that's saying it's too late. Even if you cleanse yourself thoroughly, then you still, your Aveda is still a stain before me. This Gemara is also brought in Yevamos. Marsha makes an interesting point over there. The word Bodis in the Pasuk is written without the Vav. So it's written Beis Resh Yud Saf, which means that we can also read it as if it said Bris, as in the Bris of the Torah. So therefore, the second Pasuk is saying, even if you do lots of Maisim Tovim and you learn lots of Torah, nevertheless, your Averis are so serious that there's still going to be a stain left of them. So my, and he was talking to the Tzibur, my lav kan kodim gzaudin kan la'achah gzaudin. So shouldn't we assume the one pasuk is talking about before the gzaudin, there they can do tshuva and wash and cleanse themselves and Hashem will fully forgive them. And the second one is talking about after the gzaudin. It's too late for that. So no matter how much Torah and mitzvahs they do, they're still going to get punished. So the point of telling them is, he's telling them, you have to realize, so he's telling them maybe you have to like a higher level of tshuva. You have, for example, you know, the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya from the Zohar, he says that there were certain Averis over there where tshuva is not enough. And the Alter Rebbe explains, it means tshuva tata is not enough. You need tshuva ila, you need tshuva me'ava. So we do what? Yeah, we say in Kapitul Nun Aleph, yeah. But here it sounds like in one, yeah. But here, Yeah, we're asking that Hashem should cleanse us of our Averis, yeah. But here we sounds like in the second pasuk, which is actually earlier in Sefer Yirmiya, it sounds like he's saying no matter how much washing and cleansing you do, it's not going to be enough. So it sounds like he's telling them it's after the Gzaudin, and therefore it's too late. The answer is loy, no. Ivy v'ivy la'achav Gzaudin. Both psukim are talking about after the Gzaudin. V'leikasha kan b'Gzaudin sheyeshim shvua kan b'Gzaudin she'enim shvua. It depends whether the Gzaudin is accompanied by a shvua. If it's accompanied that Hashem swore to do this, then we're saying that a Gzaudin of a tzibur is not going to be ripped up. So that's the second pasuk that the Kim Tachabsi Bar Neser is Yirmiyah is warning them. Here there's a Gzaudin sheyeshim shvua. So therefore, therefore it's not going to be ripped up. If you want to overturn it, you're going to have to do a much higher level of tshuva. As opposed to the other one, is Gzaudin she'eni meshvua. There they can tabsi meirol libech. They can cleanse their hearts of evil and do tshuva, and Hashem will forgive them. So whatever the averus they did in the years before the churban bayis rishon, avodah zarah, gilad ayis, shfichas damim. Anyway, so kiddush of shmur ba'amim. And that distinction, whether the Gzaudin has a shvua with it or not, is like what Rav Shmuel Ba'ami said. The Amr of Shmuel Ba'ami, Ba'ami la Amr of Shmuel Ba'nachmeni, Amr of Yochanan, or of Yonason, Minayim the Gzaudin, Sheyesh ima shvua, She'enim eskereh. How do we know that a Gzaudin that has a shvua with it, cannot be ripped up? Shenemar, we find by Bnei Eli. Now we know we have the the Pesukim over there in Sefer Shmuel that describe what the Bnei Eli, Chofni, and Pinchas were doing. They were being Mevaza, the Korbanos. They were doing various other things. And therefore, Hashem sent Nevi'im to warn. First, Hashem sent a Navi who was unnamed in the Pasuk, although Rashi brings from the Medrash that it was Arkana, Shmuel's father. After that, Shmuel had his first Nevuah, which supplemented it. Anyway, the Nevuah is the base Eli that they're going to be severely punished. And the Pasuk says, V'lachen nishbaiti leveis Eli. Hashem says, therefore, I've sworn regarding the family of Eli, and they're considered a tzibur because it's a whole family. Im yiskaper avoin beis Eli v'zevachu v'mincha v'gomer. If, meaning it will not be that the avera of beis Eli will be forgiven through korbanos, through zevachu v'mincha. And in a way, it's Marsha mentions this in Yevamos, and other Mephoshim explain as well. It's kind of on the grounds of in kateger nasa saneger. Their averus involve the korbanos, involving treating the korbanos disrespectfully. Therefore, they can't bring korbanos. Korbanos are accompanied by tshuva. You don't bring a korban chata so osham without doing tshuva. Nevertheless, Hashem is saying that in kateger nasa saneger, korbanos are not going to cleanse their aver. So we see, therefore. So the Pesukim describe over there in Sefer Shmuel. We've talked about it here and there in the Shiur. The Gemara mentioned it in Shabbos. So we learned it last year sometime. I think we talked about it more recently as well. There are two things. The Pesuk mentions that they were treating the Korbanos very disrespectfully. They were demanding and taking portions of the Korbanos even before the Chelev is offered on the Mizbeach, which they're not allowed to do. And they were telling people, you have to give us whatever we want, much more than the Chos of a Shoik or whatever that they're entitled to. So they're acting as though the Korbanos are just there in order to fill their stomach, rather than primarily to honor the Eibishter. Second of all, the Pasuk also mentions that they lay together with the women who come there to the Oyel Moed, where the Gemara explains there in Shabbos that it doesn't mean they literally were mezana with them. It means that they delayed bringing their korbanos and caused, therefore, that the women have to stay there overnight, and that way they interfered with this way the women are not able to go home and be with their husbands and so on and so forth. So on their level, it was considered a serious aveda, tantamount to being mezana with them. Anyway, whatever, you have the Pesukim there. So first you have the Pesukim describe over there how when Eli finds out about it, he tells them off, but not strongly enough. And then you have an Isha Elikim comes to Eli, where again, Rashi says on the Pasuk, bringing, I think, from Seder Olam, that it was Arkana, Shmuel's father, and gives him a whole harsh Nevuah about what's going to happen to Eli's family. Then you have, after that, the Pesukim describe how Shmuel has his very first Nevuah. He's lying there one night, and he starts hearing a voice calling to him, Shmuel, Shmuel, and he thinks that it's Eli, and three times he runs to see what Eli wants from him, and each time Eli tells him, I didn't call for you, and finally Eli realizes that it must be he's getting his first Nevuah, and he tells him, you should say Dabar Hashem Kishamei Abdecha, and sure enough, Hashem gives Shmuel his first Nevuah, and it supplements the previous Nevuah that of how Eli's family is going to be punished. So anyway, so you have this pasuk. The last pasuk in that first Nevuah of Shmuel is that Devochen Nishbaiti Leveis Eli. So we see, in other words, says Reb Shmuel Bar Ami or Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, that when there's a Shvuah involved, Lachen Nishbaiti Leveis Eli, then that Gzar Din is not going to be ripped up. However, the Gemara continues, Amar Rava or Rabba, Bezevach of Mincha, Enim Eskaper. Now, the Averis that Beis Eli did cannot be atoned for. They cannot have a kapara with them with Zevach or Mincha, as the Pasuk is saying. Avo Meskaper, who would divrei Torah, however, it can be Neskaper, but with words of Torah. If the descendants of Eli will fartifzech in Torah, then that will be Mechaper for them and mitigate the Gzardin. Abaya Omer, Abaya learns differently. The Zevach of Mincha in Meskaper, Av Meskaper, but Torah Uve Gmilas Chasadim. It's not enough Torah by itself, it needs Torah together with Gmilas Chasadim. And so the Gemara says, Kiha de Rava or de Rabba Vabaya, Kavayu mi de base Eli Kasu. Now, in fact, we find that Rava or Rabba, there are different Gersorias over here, both descended from base Eli. Now, Rashi actually points out that we have a Gemara in Cholin, which shows clearly that Rava was not a Koyan. The Gemara tells a story over there where one time there was a Rava himself was not a Koyan, but he had a Shamash who was a Koyan, and Rava told the Shamash, and so the Shamash was getting Matonis, Zoroi L'Chayayim V'Keva, and Rava said, I want to take them from you. So we see Rava himself was not a Koyan, only his Shamash was. So how would he saying over here he was descended from Beis Eli, which would make him a Koyan? So Rashi says maybe his mother came from Beis Eli. On the other hand, there is a different girsa that said, and that's why you have over here in square brackets, not Rava, but rather Rabba. And the truth is, we do know that Rabba and Abaya were uncle and nephew. Abaya was the son of Rabba's brother who passed away before Abaya was even born. So in that case, it fits better to say that it's Rabba over here. But again, according to Rav, according to Rashi's Girsa, it is in fact Rava that we're talking about over here. However, we mean that Rava was descended from Eli on his mother's side. Anyway, so they were both descended from Beis Eli, and based on now that as the Gemara is going to quote in a couple of lines, part of the first nevuah that Elkanah came and told Eli is he told him b'chol marbis beischa yamusu anoshim. All the men of your household are going to pass away when they first reach the age of anoshim, meaning when they turn 18 or 20 years old. So they're all going to pass away young. So now, though, Rabba, or Rava, and Abaya were both descended from Beis Eli, and on the face of it, that should have happened. But Rava or Rabba, the Osik B'Torah, Rava or Rabba was occupied with learning Torah in the S'chus of that, he lived to be 40 years old. So he got himself an extra 20 years in the S'chus of the Torah. So, well, of course, so soon the Gemara is going to point out that was a case where they were passing away at 18 years old, but primarily Anoshim means means 20 years old more. Yeah. So therefore, he gained himself an extra 20 years. Abaya, the Osik, the Torah of Gmilas Chasadim, Chaya Shittin Shnin. Abaya, who was Osik in both Torah and Gmilas Chasadim, he earned himself an extra 40 years and he lived to age 60. Now, Tosfos points out, we do have a Gemara in Sanhedrin where it says clearly that Rabba was Oisik in Gmilas Chasadim as well. However, Tosfos says, nevertheless, Abaya was more in Gmilas Chasadim than Rabba was. And there is, in fact, an explanation. Rabba was a major Rosh Hashiva, and therefore he didn't have as much time for Gmilas Chasadim. But whatever the case, therefore, it comes out that Abaya outlived Rabba by many years, or Rava, by many years because of that. Now, there are some interesting things about that. There was a fascinating explanation from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, from the Rebbe's father, that talks about the deeper idea behind this. He has the Girsa Rava also, like the way Rashi had. And he explains that we find in other contexts, we find there's a concept of makif ha-korev and makif, you have in Chassidus, there's makif ha-korev and makif ha-rochek. You have the level of alakus, which is makif, which is where it doesn't get embedded into us. It's only makif. It surrounds us from above. You have a level of the neshama, for example, chaya and yechida are that. You have soiv of kolamin is like that. And then you have, within that, you can distinguish between korev and rochay. The metaphor for it in chassidus is, for example, you have a person's clothing versus his house. His clothing is makif a korev. The house is makif a rochay. So he explains over there. Then I'll pick Kabbalah that Rava is more connected with Makif HaKorov, and the Shlossman is also connected, which is Gematria 40 is more connected with Makif HaKorov. So Rava has more of a connection with Makif HaKorov. Abaya has more of a connection with Makif HaRochek, and he explains various machlokes of Abaya and Rava that we find in Shas along those lines, and therefore the Samach has to do more with Makif HaRochek, and therefore Abaya lived to 60. He mentions in this connection, for example, is a Gemara in Brachos that tells a story that one time when Abaya and Rava were little kids, one time they were in front of Rabba, and Rabba asked them, "Who? When we say Brachos, who are we speaking to?" And they said, "Hashem." So Rabba asked them, "Where is Hashem?" So Rava pointed to the ceiling, and Abaya went outside and pointed to the sky, and Rava was very impressed with them. These were little kids, and they already understand what the concept of the Eidish there. And he says, both of you are going to grow up to be great Talmid Chachamim. So Rav Levi Yitzchak connects it with this. Rava is pointing to the Makif HaKorev, the house. Abaya is pointing to the sky, which is the Makif HaRochek. Yeah. With all of that said, though, we do have to mention something else, which is the Sefer Dodos HaRishonim, a multi-volume set on Jewish history. He discusses this point, and he points out, first of all, if you have the Girsa Rabba, it seems based on various pieces of information that we have, in particular from Igeres Reb Shura Goin, which gives the dates when the various Chachamim passed away, and also if we say it's Rava, if we say like Rashi's view said that it's Rava, either way it seems very difficult to say that either Rava or Rabba lived to only 40 years. There were various Gemaras, he says, various Gemaras and various other pieces of evidence that seem to work against that. So he actually has a whole different explanation in the Gemara over here. He learns, first of all, he has the Girsa Rabba, but second of all, he says that actually what the Gemara is saying is both of them lived to 60. Not that one lived to 40 and one lived to 60, but rather he argues what the Gemara means to say is actually the correct Girsa would be that both of them lived to 60. And in other words, what the Gemara is saying by that is you shouldn't think like Abaya that you must have Torah of Milas Chasadim to overturn the Gzera. Even just Torah by itself, as Rabba had, is enough to overturn the Gzera and to allow him to live an extra 40 years to age 60. So that's how he learned Pshat in the Gemara.
If Rabbah was not so involved with
Torah,
does that mean he was learning more Torah?
Means he was learning more Torah. Yeah, you have the Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya. That's why Rabbah thought of himself that he was a Benini, because he thought he was a Benini Mespala Kolayim Kolo. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, Mishpacha Achas Hoisa B'Yerushalayim. There was a certain family in Yerushalayim. Show you Meisehom Meisim Ben Shmona Esrei Shana. The people, the men in that family, when they passed away, were passing away at only 18 years old. So they came in. It's possible, by the way, also the word meseho mason is a little unusual. And if they're dying, then they're dead. You do find very rarely in Tanakh, not very rarely, whatever, you find a somewhat rare word in Tanakh, misim, with a shva under the mem, that means people, like hachren kol ir misim. So the Gemara may be doing a little bit of a play on words over here. The misim, the men of that family, mason, were passing away anyway. Ben Shmona Esrei Shana at 18 years old. So they came and informed Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai to ask him what they can do about it. He says to them, is it possible that you're descended from the family of Eli, of whom the Pasuk says, like we said before, that Elkanah had told him a nevuah from Hashem that all the men of your family are going to pass away when they reach the age of manhood. And since Ben Shmona Esra L'chupa, Marsha points out in Yevamos, then therefore that's the age that they were passing away, when they reached that age of marriage. So he tells them, go occupy yourselves with Torah, vichyu, and then you will live. Sure enough, they occupied themselves with Torah, and they lived. They lived longer than 18 years. And from then on, that family took the name, the family of Rabbi Yochanan, and in gratitude for Rabbi Yochanan for saving their lives. This is also, by the way, Doris Rishonim mentions this in his argument about what the Gemara before said. He said if the Gemara had concluded that you need Toto Gmilas Chasadim to live long, like Abaya said, then why is the Gemara now contradicting that with the story with Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, where he says only Lachur is about Torah and doesn't mention about Gmilas Chasadim? So therefore he says that could be a Raya, that would be another Raya he brings for his Pshat, that it means that either one by itself is enough.
Increase your Torah learning.
He's telling them, yeah.
As opposed to start learning
Torah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the Pashtos, I guess they were learning Torah before. They weren't Amei Aretz, but yeah. So the Gemara continues. How do we know that the Gzar Din of a Tzibur is never sealed, is never signed? So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Nechtam v'aksiv nichtam avonich lafanai." We have the pasuk that we quoted before that your averus have made a stain before me, and that means that they've made a stain. In other words, it's a permanent, irrevocable thing, like a stain on a garment. Ella minayin she'avpich nechtam miskareya. How do we know that even though it was signed, it can still be ripped up afterwards? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, who is kashem alekenu? Who is like Hashem or God? B'chol koreinu elav. Whenever we call out to Him. So that implies that whenever, even any time during the year, that we call out to Hashem, then Hashem listens and rips up the Gzeira. So the Gemara asks, what about though? You have the pasuk that says, seek out Hashem when He can be found, implying that there's only a certain time when Hashem can be found, which, as the Gemara is going to say, means aseres meitshuva. And the answer is, again, that pasuk is talking about a yachid. This pasuk is talking about a tzibur. In fact, a different Gemara in Yevamos mentions that Menashe HaMelech, the infamous Rosh HaMenashe, at least it was a Rosh at the beginning, whatever, he had Yeshaya brought in front of him on charges where he's claiming that you're contradicting things in the Torah, and this is one of them. He says, you're saying, Dir Shah Hashem Mimatzai, and Moshe says, Kashem Alekenim B'chokar Einu Elav. So the answer is, as the Gemara is saying over here, Yochid versus Tzibur, but of course Menashe wasn't doing it in order to actually get an answer, he was just using it as an excuse to have an excuse to kill Yeshaya, as the Gemara says, but he eventually did. Anyway, so it will be Yochid Aim. And in fact, Marsha points out over there, you actually see it in the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk that Moshe is saying is all in the plural. Mi kashem lekeinu b'chol koreinu elav, as opposed to Dir Shah Hashem b'imotze. Yeah, it's written in plural. You should seek out Hashem, but it continues in the singular. Yazav Rosha Darko v'ish oven machshavoisav. So you see, it's talking about a yochid. So then he has to wait for the time that b'imotze. And it's that Dir Shah Hashem b'imotze is after it on every fast day. Over Yochid Emas, so for Yochid, what's the time? When is the Dir Shah Hashem being Matzai? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bavur, Elo Aseres Yomim Shem Rosh Hashanah Vad Yom HaKippurim. The 10 days, the Aseres Yom HaTshuva, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, those are the times when Hashem is being Matzai individually for every year. And in fact, we have one of the one of the slichas. We say on Sim Gedalia, Taka begins with those words, Es Hashem Be'imotze Karasi. So yeah. There's a couple of sichas, by the way, where the Rebbe talks about the Inyan. Why do we, on the one hand, we're saying aseres hayom, asora yomim, but then we're saying bein Rosh Hashanah, shemei Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim, implying that it's only from after Rosh Hashanah until before Yom Kippur. You only have 7 days. The expression in other places is bein Rosh Hashanah v'yom Kippurim. So what is it? Is it bein? Is it only the days between them, or is it the days including them? And the Rebbe explains in a couple of places, the vote is, on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur themselves are part of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. On the other hand, they have a Metzius of their own. Rosh Hashanah's Inyan is Kabbalas HaMalchus, Yom Kippur's Inyan is Slicho Mechila. So in a sense, you have, they stand on their own, and then the 7 days between them are an Inyan of their own. But on the other hand, you also have, the fact is that they're also included, there's also, on top of that, there's also that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are part of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. So that's why you have the double expression of it here. What? You have a Shabbos in between always. Yeah, the Rebbe mentions in one of those sichas. In fact, you have the famous vote from the Arizal that says that the Sunday of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah can fix up all the Sundays of the previous year, and the Monday of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, the Mondays of all the previous year. So there you have only 7 days fall into that, because that's what the Rebbe is saying. You have, when you think about the specifics of each of the times of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, then you have those details, and you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur stand on their own, and the 7 days between them stand on their own. That's Bein Rosh Hashanah over Yom Kippurim. And then on the other hand, you have it in a different sense. They're all the days of Teshuvah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Geula, Yud Tes Oder Aleph. So the purpose of Golos is that the Jewish people should be raised up to an even higher level than we were in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, of necessity, the Yerida, the downward, the going down in Golos is only a beginning, and it's only a part of the Aliyah that comes out of it. It's not just Yerida, it's Tzurich Aliyah, it's that the Yerida is a Chelek, is a part of the Aliyah that comes after it. Continuing with Halachos of Shabbos, You're not allowed to squeeze fruit to get juice of it. So, for example, you wouldn't be able to squeeze lemons to make lemonade, or yesh oisrim, even to suck out the juice from a fruit with your mouth. And the Alter Rebbe, in fact, adds v'machmer tover el brach. Certainly with grapes, you have to be careful not to suck out the juice and throw away the grapes, because grape juice has more of a status of a mashke in halacha. It's more normally squeezed for things. If you don't need the juice that comes out of it, then you are allowed to squeeze them. So, for example, so he gives an example. You would be allowed to squeeze out, let's say, vegetables, to squeeze out the water from them, because you're not actually using the water from them. He doesn't mention also, by the way, that there is also halacha. You would be allowed, for example, to squeeze a lemon onto fish on Shabbos, let's say, because there you're not using it as a liquid. You're using it as part of the food, and therefore there's no problem with that. Okay.